Welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show as we prepare for a massive round one. And before we take you through this week's quick nine, here's a quick reminder about signing up for the biggest and best footy tipping competition at thegame.com.au. There's 50k for the year's top tipper, $1,000 weekly prizes, and you can even win a Mazda BT50 dual cab 4x4 just by signing up. Get involved at thegame.com.au. All right, let's get stuck in. It is the Hardball Gets AFL show, the quick nine. We've actually got nine games to talk about this week, gentlemen. Jackson Barrett and Jake Colvin in the chair today. Gentlemen, how are we?
Hello, Robbo. How are you? It's good to have nine proper games of actual
normal
football to talk about.
Normal week of football. Thank goodness for that.
And I'll take a round one debut as well for this season.
We actually played
in opening round, so it doesn't quite count.
Yeah, well, I didn't really watch much footy in opening round, to be completely honest. But certainly last year, I think I got brought in probably a month into the season, which was good. But it's good to see sort of it's been tried and tested, and then you'll bring me back for an earlier start this year, which I'm happy about.
Did you get your mum and dad on the phone with the FaceTime video last year when you did make your debut? I forgot to ask.
Surprisingly, they had no idea what the podcast was, for example. Like, they're not great with technology.
Avid listeners.
Certainly had a lot of mates make sure that they knew if any I had any slip-ups last time. So hopefully I can make amends.
Yeah. Okay. Jacko, how are you feeling about the...
Famously no slip-ups on this show either. So
no, definitely not.
About.
Completely smooth.
I'm looking forward to watching football on a Sunday. Like, that was a flat Sunday, and selfishly, like, busy on a Saturday, sat down on a Sunday and was just like, what do I do? So looking forward to like a full slate of decent Saturday games, and then Eagles and Docks on the Sunday will be epic.
There's been a lot of commentary, obviously, around opening round. I mean, I've had a lot of people sit on the fence. They didn't mind it. They didn't love it. I think I saw in the paper, it might have been Anna Hay wrote about not fixing what isn't broken, and I tend to agree with that. Like, I thought it was good what they're trying to grow the game, but I'm also a traditionalist, and I like just having nine fixtures to start the season. What were your thoughts?
Well, you know the common thread about people that got around opening round, and it was a little bit like gather round last year, were the people that got a trip to Sydney for the weekend.
Like, yeah, true.
If journos in Brisbane, Sydney thought it was unreal, and those left behind in Perth and Melbourne and elsewhere weren't so keen on it. I'm a little bit in the if it ain't broke sort of camp as well. Like, going in, I was sort of like, Thursday night, Friday night game, really good. It'll be great. I'm excited. And then I got towards the end of it and it was like, probably hasn't quite scratched the itch. So really looking forward to this weekend. I don't mind the concept, but I'm looking forward to getting into it properly now.
All right. Well, we've got nine games, so we might as well get stuck in with the first game, which is Carlton and Richmond on a Thursday night. How good?
Well, it's funny. Years gone by, Richmond have always been the major favourite in these fixtures, being the powerhouse they have been over the last sort of, I guess, seven years now, you'd probably say, or 6 or 7 years. Last couple of years, they've dropped off a little bit. But the script is flipped. Carlton are relatively heavy favourites. You would think that they would get the job done in relative ease, looking at the Gold Coast fixture of what Richmond, I guess, was pretty underwhelming. A lot of their veterans didn't have the greatest game, whether it's that round one blowout where they just needed to get the run in their legs. But if I was a Richmond supporter, I wouldn't be having a ton of confidence going into a Thursday night fixture, which will be packed. You'd think there'd be about 90,000 there. It's going to be tough for them to get over the line,
And this is a five-day break for the Tigers with a bit of travel thrown in as well. So serious concerns. They obviously get Dusty back, Nanks back. Tom Lynch is back, although he's going to be on managed minutes, which is flagged by Adam Uzay this morning. A quote that sort of caught my eye from Richmond's loss and Gold Coast win last week. This is from Jack Lukosius. Quote, it went a bit too perfectly in that first half. It kind of felt like Dimmer's PowerPoint slides were just out on the oval. So that is...
That's an unreal quote.
It's an amazing quote. Yeah. How damning is that? He's basically saying it was a training drill out there. We were doing our training drill out there.
I've got serious worries about a few things with Richmond. Clearly, there's been a lot of talk about... I mean, Matt Rao had 20 clearances, and the way they let not just Rao, but Gold Coast altogether exit stoppages was pretty damning. And I just don't quite know where they're going to fix that, because Prestia isn't your two-way man. Taranto was pretty grim on the weekend. He's not your two-way man. Neither's Hopper. Dusty's not the answer. So where are they going? Is it Liam Baker at more CBAs? Like, who are they going to get that's going to do the grunt work in there? Because at the moment, they're going to really struggle. Nankervis is going to help because he's going to be a little bit more competitive than Naismith was, especially against Tom De Koning. Then their back line as well, like we're putting a lot of weight on what Josh Gibkiss can do last year. And I'm in on Josh Gibkiss, but struggled on the weekend. Mm. Dylan Grimes was awful. And now they've got Charlie Kernel and Harry Mackay. So they could get seriously eaten up in that.
Yeah,
department.
I think the midfield is obviously a massive worry because that's, you know, where the source of scoring comes from a lot of the time. But I think that Carlton forward line's going to be pretty damning for a very inexperienced Richmond backline, considering they've got a few new faces down there. And Gibkiss has only played several games in his career.
Friday night is Collingwood hosting Sydney. A lot of hard takes on the Pies after one game against a pretty decent GWS side. Probably have to cool our jets a little bit. So the Pies had 3 more scoring shots, 8 more inside 50s against the Giants. Obviously couldn't quite get it done. They probably get Jeremy Howe back. Jacko, what are your thoughts here against the Swans?
I'm not at all on the premiership hangover sort of stuff, but some of the vision of the defensive work rate was a little bit concerning. I think Sydney are the perfect side to exploit that a little bit as well. Like if Collingwood have some of that sort of sluggishness that they did against GWS and some of the vision of Isaac Quainer letting his man go up to contests and having goals kicked back over his head and even Darcy Moore was pretty worrying. But you think about Sydney's transition on the weekend again on Thursday night against Melbourne. I mean, Nick Blakey was up there with their best players. Mm-hmm. And then there's Brody Grundy, who if Brody Grundy's going to play like that, my expectations around him and around Sydney and their midfield have changed drastically. Like, I mean, if he plays 10 games like that, he's the All-Australian ruckman, arguably, and he really opens up that Sydney midfield. Never been a massive fan of Heaney in there. He was at 58% of centre bounces at the weekend really liked his work. The connection with Grundy was great. So I feel like it's just opened the door for them, and where I sit on Sydney has changed quite a bit from when we spoke last week.
Are you prepared to back Sydney for this?
I think so. Yeah, I must admit, it's a tip that I'm sitting on, but I think I'll land on Sydney.
Okay.
Haven't had a great record at the MCG.
Negative.
Time, Sydney. And I think this also comes from the opening round. It's the hype. It's the rivalry between GWS and Collingwood, which mm-hmm. I think has been made into something a lot bigger than it actually is.
Definitely.
But, going to GWS to win is hard.
It's tough, yeah.
And Collingwood weren't a rabble. Craig McRae is probably the best coach in the AFL. I think they're going to respond. It'll be a great game, but I think just Collingwood will have they're too good of a team with such a good pedigree that they're not going to turn their nose up at what happened on the weekend. I think they're just going to get the job done.
Just quickly, Robbie Fox really effective on Jake Lever as well. Interesting to see if he goes to Howe, if Howe plays.
Just on Grundy while you're there, how's the storyline for Grundy against Melbourne last week and against Collingwood this week? Against his old two teams before, 10 teams in the comp have even played their first game of the season. Unreal. Saturday's first game, Essendon and Hawthorn, two arch rivals here. Obviously, no one's massively big on either of these two teams, really. And Darcy Parrish missing for the Bombers as well. Really hurts in that midfield. Bit of talk about Finn McGuinness possibly getting the job on Zach Merritt. I think you have to.
Yep.
I had a bit of a dive into Zach Merritt's numbers from last year. So his uncontested footy, when he gets 19 plus uncontested, last year they were 9-4 and they were 2-7 when he doesn't. So if you let him rack it up by himself, he's going to be effective. But if you can clamp on him, they can barely win. So that's a matchup that we're surely going to see, right?
I think Parrish out makes that a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Like, you've got one guy to shut down in that midfield, and there's Hobbs and there are other guys that might float through there, but Merritt's going to be the guy. On Essendon, I've got a quiz question for you. Who do you reckon was their second leading goal scorer last year? So Kyle Langford kicked 51. Who kicked their second most goals?
Crikey. Where was Nick Martin in this?
Not in top 5.
Hmm.
That is really hard. It wouldn't have been Menzie.
Yeah,
because it was Menzie?
Yeah. Good Jack. Go.
This is why we get you into the podcast, Jake. This is why we have you in here.
I wouldn't know what he looks like, but I've got him in a fantasy.
He could walk past the podcast window right now and you wouldn't know.
I think that's the concern, right? Like, I like Kyle Langford. Good kick, knows where he needs to be on the ground, good set of hands, but you can't rely on Kyle Langford to have a 50-goal season. Mm. And then the one you sort of identify there is probably Jake Stringer, right? Like, he kicked 20 or 21 goals last season, yeah. but there's someone in that midfield, someone in that forward line is going to have to kick 20, 25, maybe 30 more goals than they did last year.
Well, he's coming off his best ever preseason for the seventh time.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
which is great.
That's going to be good. Expect to see Ben McKay, Todd Goldstein, Jay Gresham, and Xavier Duursma as well, who you know intimately, Jake, being a hardcore Port Adelaide fan. What's your take on the X-Man being in this team?
Look, I think a change of scenery is going to be really good for him.
Okay.
Over the years, he has come in and out of the side through. He's had a couple, I think, MCLs and knee knocks and stuff like that, which has made it tough. And he is a really good runner. His ball use, I think, dropped off a fair bit last year. So whether the change in clubs brings out the best of Duursma, we'll wait and see. But certainly, I think it'll be a tough going for him in probably a bit of a depleted midfield and sort of a team that's in a bit of purgatory at the moment with Essendon.
So are we all in agreement on the Bombers there? We happy with that?
Yeah.
I think that's the correct answer. Yeah.
I think that's the exact right answer. If there was a game to miss that weekend, well, you can sleep in on
Saturday
morning.
Isn't that your typical Sunday game, isn't it?
Yeah,
graveyard
yeah.
slot. Yeah. Essendon Hawthorn. We'll see how that goes.
This one might be worse. Giants against North Melbourne. Talk about two teams at the opposite ends of the spectrum. The Giants, probably the most impressive side out of round zero. North Melbourne, one of the least impressive sides of the past few years, slash the AFL era. Another Duursma, Zane Duursma, the next generation of Duursma, is going to debut. Colby McKercher, we know, is as well. What do you want to see from North here, Jake?
Well, for me, as a North Melbourne supporter, you're looking towards the Colby McKerchers, obviously. Like, that's the main thing most supporters will be looking at. But I think it's like this back line, which had a bit of commentary around, I guess, how thin it is. Bringing in Toby Pink from the Sandful.
Listeners to the podcast earlier in the week would know, yes.
Absolutely. And I just think you'll just want to see better effort across the board in terms of consistency. I think like Dylan Stevens that has gone over, he's had some good moments. I think Tom Powell has had some good moments in the preseason as well. So I think for these North supporters, it's not the new crop coming through that's the only focus for them. It's that sort of middle tier of player. Can Clarko elevate them to just the next level where they'll probably still only win a handful of games this year, but can they just be more competitive? Like GWS, you'd think, you know, they've got the capabilities of winning this game by 10 goals quite easily, but can they just be more competitive for longer? Cadman, Jesse Hogan, these forwards, Callum Brown was electric last week. Mm. They're going to have their work cut out for them, that back line and that defensive half of the ground. So it could get grim, but I think North supporters just dying out for consistency.
It was overshadowed in that preseason game against St Kilda, clearly. I don't remember a preseason game that ever had more news come out of it, but I like the way they went about it, and North ball, whatever, like, don't care, but they're going to take the game on. The issue is their skills, clearly, and we see this a lot with rebuilding sides where they almost go too quick for their own feet, and so often the guy that, you know, I think they spoke about it on the podcast earlier in the week, four or five of their best players are all playing across half back, and then these guys will do nice things, and then it'll be someone will drop a mark in the forward line, or a handball will be turned over or something like that. So I think North are going to be they're going to be fun, but for supporters, a little frustrating this year. And I mean, GWS probably the consensus pick for the best backline in the comp now, right? So they get this done very easily.
Geelong and St Kilda is our next game. 2009 grand final, epic grand final rematch. Quiz question, there's one person at each of those two clubs who's still involved the club right now who'll be there on Saturday. Who is it?
Brendan Goddard.
Loose association. I need a more firm association than that. Someone's still playing for one.
Oh, right.
Hawkins.
Correct. And St Kilda? Not playing. But more than Goddard.
Ross Lyon.
Ross the boss.
Yeah.
Correct, though.
Yeah. Sorry, Brendan Goddard's stiff. He's an assistant coach.
Brendan Goddard, please. Assistant coach.
Development.
So a bit of a question mark game, right? Like this could, I wouldn't be surprised to see this go either way.
Well, how come I've heard, like, it seems every journo across the AFL landscape has been hyping up St Kilda as if they're going to be the next sort of, like, I think I saw maybe potentially Damien Barrett thought they could challenge for the top four, which I think a lot would have to go. I'm having a little dig at Barrett because he had Geelong second and Port Adelaide 12th, so I'm not going to get into that in this segment. But
yeah, Port Adelaide 12th.
Yeah, he did.
That's
so
my uncle.
I think it's not all about you, Jacko. I think St Kilda,
he's not really,
this is probably for one of the teams that if we want to take them seriously, if they don't win, it's not the end of the world, but they've got to be like, they've got to be taking this game down to the wire against a Geelong team that's most people have probably in that 9th to 10th range.
They're in the logjam of teams. Part of the curve.
This is the perfect game for St Kilda. They're going down to Skilled, which is an old GMHBA stadium.
Shell Stadium.
It's the perfect storm for St Kilda to go out and a Ross Lyon sort of masterclass in terms of, you know, their back line isn't exceptional. They've got Wilkie and a couple of good pieces down there, but I still think Hawkins, Cameron, Ollie Henry, Stengel, Close, they've got enough firepower down there which could, you know, at a stadium like that could cause them some headaches. So if St Kilda are going to be legit this year, they need to go out to a stadium like this and put on a really competitive game where they get, you know, within a couple of kicks or obviously would win the game as well.
I think you're spot on, mate. Two teams pretty hard to pick, but we'll learn a lot about them. St Kilda are a fascinating case.
Gold Coast hosting Adelaide. So speaking of fascinating cases, this is one of those games where it's a club from last week as up against the club that hasn't played yet, and Gold Coast don't have to travel either. Jacko, your thoughts?
Loved Gold Coast on the weekend,
of course.
Which doesn't surprise me. I think, Josh, you might have some audio sort of teed up there. Someone kind of flagged that last week. So yeah. This is actually the easiest tip of the round for me. I just can't get around Richmond at the moment.
So you're taking the Suns as a better lock than Brisbane?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're right.
Yes, Nick, I'm fine.
Teeing up your own audio.
No. In advance. Not true. No, Josh.
That's 100%
Josh
true.
Josh had that lined up for me.
I saw you bring a tape in when we walked in. I wondered what it was.
But weren't those Suns good on the weekend?
Goodness gracious me. We're keeping receipts already. It's not even round one, round zero.
Well, doesn't this go back to sort of the St Kilda point from before? It's like, if we're going to take Adelaide seriously again this year, it's a tough ask go out to Gold Coast home ground and get the win. I don't think a lot of teams had super success over there, but still Adelaide as a young team who a lot, again, tipping to be in that sort of maybe 5th to 8th range or anywhere from there. A lot of people were really excited and bullish on them. They're another team like St Kilda. If they can go out and obviously pinch a victory, or I would think if they're going to be a top 8 team, they've got to beat Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Because again, I think Zave's commented on it as well. It's like, it is Gold Coast still. They're not a top 4 team.
Yeah,
so they've
got
to be sort of trying to win these games.
And this is a Saturday night game as well. I'm always a bit wary of going up there. Yep. It's always a bit slippery if you're an opponent. Tex Walker's a game 50, time 50, decision 50, as well, Matthew Nick said this morning. So if he can't get to the line, I think I'm taking the Suns anyway, but if he can't get to the line, I'd be a bit more sure about that. Anyone taking the Crows, or are we happy with Gold Coast going 2-8?
I'm going to take the Suns and really interested to see how they back her up. They're going to back it up. They're going to get a sterner test than their PowerPoint presentation game against Richmond, where they sort of waltzed it inside 50. So look, Ben King looked nice, but the service isn't going to be on a silver platter this week, and it'll be a really interesting test.
The first of the Sunday games is Melbourne hosting the Dogs. So the Dees have lost 3 straight, given the straight sets exit last year and the round zero lost. Haven't lost 4 straight since pre-COVID, 2019. So it's been a long time since they've dropped 4 straight, which is what they're facing here. Jacko, your thoughts?
Clayton Oliver, interested in, we've spoken about him every podcast the season so far, but 30 disposals last week, but just the impact was down. And interested to see how long it takes for that impact to get back up, because that's exactly what they were lacking in the midfield last week. Clearly, Gorn was blanketed, and that's not something we've ever seen before, so that doesn't help. But that Clayton Oliver type of player is what Petrarca needs in that midfield helping him. Obviously, seriously concerned about the forward line. Like, they had one Jacob Van Rooyen's goal where he was on his backside in the goal square. It was the only one kicked by a key forward. Mm-hmm. So there are issues there. There are still issues with the way they move the ball inside 50. But if they can just yank it from the source a little bit more, they're obviously going to give themselves a bit of a better sniff.
What are you excited for from the Dogs' point of view, Jake?
Well, Riley Sanders, he's looked fantastic in that preseason. It's going to be
shortening for the Rising Star. As every day goes by.
He's my tip for the Rising Star.
He was socks up, man.
I love seeing people with the socks. Yeah. I remember Louis Taylor when he first came into the AFL
also
system.
Also a Rising Star winner.
Socks up. So it could be something in that.
Where's he these days?
He was at Sydney last. Now he's been, I think he's just
nothing
playing.
He's gone,
yeah. I'm sure he's something.
it's a bit of a drop off from Rising Star to out of the comp in
absolutely. Well, would you say for a team like Melbourne coming into opening round against Sydney at the SCG, a lot of forward lines? It's not your traditional ground. It's a lot smaller. It's a lot more contested. Very slippery.
Yeah.
I think it might have been heightened the forward line issues. A lot of the players weren't clean. If Petrarca is fumbling and sort of all the top line players aren't holding onto the ball well, then they're probably brings everyone down to an even playing field. But I think against the Dogs, a lot of young kids, I keep seeing on the AFL website that Jacko McRae's not even a lock to play this week. So they could be having a few youngsters in. There's obviously no Bailey Smith. So potentially Melbourne's midfield could really get them over the top in this game. I think they're my bet. I'm going with Melbourne quite easily over Bulldogs.
Yeah, I'm taking the D's as well, Jacko. You happy with that? Port Adelaide hosting West Coast. Now, Jake, you got a big smile on your face here. Port Adelaide, what do you reckon they're paying? You've probably had a look. What do you reckon they're paying with the bookies?
They were $1.09.
They're $1.06. $1.06 now,
yeah.
Which has them, that's the shortest price favourite for any team in any round one game since 2016, which was West Coast $1.02 against Brisbane. West Coast coming off a grand final. Is there any planet where Port Adelaide stuff this up? No planet, universe.
If there is, I'm not coming into work on Monday.
If there is, you might not be on the planet.
Yeah, no, I won't be on the planet. I think for looking at this from both sides, Port Adelaide, again, a lot of people have them in that logjam between sort of 6th to 10th. They could fall anywhere in that. I obviously have them. I have them 4th, so but that's been very optimistic. But I think for Port Adelaide, with that logjam, if they are going to be falling into that sort of 6th to 10th range, percentage is going to be incredibly important.
Absolutely.
No coach is going out there in the first address saying you need to win this game by 10 goals, but I think, again, Port Adelaide to be a contender this year, they need to be taking care of these teams at home in a way that, remember they played Brisbane round one last year and they blew them out of the park and won by 7 goals. And they did it in a fashion where on the Monday people were going like, wow, is Port Adelaide going to be a genuine contender? You're not going to have that headline out of this game because if they walk away sort of 50-point winners, then
they've ticked
the box. I think from a West Coast perspective, you're looking at this game and going, can the middle tier of player like that Chessa, Brady Hoff, all those sort of middle, like when we're not so much worried about like Gimbies and those anyway because we know what they're going to be. But I think it's that sort of player 12 to 22, can they take a noticeable leap where that's not going to essentially drag them over the line to win a lot of games, but can Eagles supporters walk away from a game going, wow, Campbell Chester did X, Y, and Z, which we haven't seen before?
Just to temper the Port bias, I've got them at 4th as well.
Oh, thanks.
Like, no, I like the way they went about it against Freo. No premiership side we've ever looked at and went, oh, I really like the way they slowed the footy down and kick marked in day 50. Mm-hmm. Like, they go fly by handballs. They used it quick. Their midfield's unreal and their forward line's developing. So I've got them about the same range.
And closing out the round, Freo hosting Brisbane. So this is Freo's first home opener since 2019. Which is just shout out to Cam McCarthy who kicked 5 goals that day. That's how long it's been.
Was that against North Melbourne?
It was against North Melbourne on a Sunday afternoon.
Bailey Scott might have got Rising Star nomination.
He might have, might have worked his way into a few fantasy lineups if he wasn't already that day. So we're obviously on Kitty Coleman replacement watch. We're thinking Connor McKenna. We're thinking Darcy Wilmot. A couple of those guys might alleviate that absence, Jacko.
Yeah, I think role wise, it's Wilmot. Connor McKenna is the man that. Is the soldier that comes into the side. There's a little bit of talk around Zorko as well, but I think it probably starts with McKenna. Worth noting, though, that last year they had McKenna and Coleman in the same side doing that all year. So I think ultimately they'll look at someone like a Zorko, but that might wait until Dev Robertson comes in. So he's in off the injury list. I'm a big Darcy Wilmot fan. I thought he was really good on Friday night. The other one's Jackson Pryor is on the bench as an option if they were to go, keep Zorko where he is and go with something like that. Zorko's kicking probably not quite as precise as like a Kitty Coleman, and no one's going to replace him. Like they are going to lose out of this injury. On the Freo side of things, was at training yesterday, really interested in their forward line makeup. Justin Longmuir's left the door open to potentially a Liam Reedy or someone coming in and so that they can
Luke Jackson as a second up ruck. I probably lean towards Jackson still rucking number one, and it being someone like a Tabana or a Patrick Voss, bit of a talk around where Tabana is at as far as you know, like obviously he's injury free, but conditioning and stuff like that, is he ready to go round one? So I mean, Freo's team is going to be as interesting as any other when it comes out, because you've got Cox and Michael Frederick fitness tests on Thursday as well. So there's a lot there.
Jake?
Well, the Freo at $2.62 is looking at me
funny.
I don't mind it. I think
Freo at the line,
potentially at the line, could be the play. But I think for Fremantle,
12.5.
It's one of those games where there's a lot of question marks around the play, like a couple of players that they've brought in or are coming up from younger players on the list, like Jeremy Sharp. What will he be like? We saw him at the Gold Coast. He was... showed signs, but then he obviously hasn't played AFL basically all of last... I'm pretty sure he didn't play last year at all.
No, didn't
play a game. So these kids coming up, can these middle-tier players just take that next step, improve sort of that 10-15% that'll raise their floor? Because I think their ceiling's low, but I think their floor could be anywhere from sort of 12th to 14th.
Tom Emmett as well. Can't wait to see what he brings.
Excited by Sharp. A Gold Coast teammate once told me that he could play two games of AFL standard football back-to-back from a running... standpoint, and it's exactly what Freo needs. So if the ball skills and that sort of thing get up to scratch, he could be a really good asset.
Surprised Freo haven't been fixture to do that, given they're the old screw job by the fixture every year. So we all taking Brisbane there?
Yeah.
Not with a super amount of confidence. Jake, you taking Freo?
No, I'll take Brisbane at line, I think.
Have you got the touch this footy season? Join the TAB Footy Tipping Competition. Head to thegame.com.au, register and enter the code 74BN7BF. That code again, 74BN7BF.
Enter your weekly tips to be in the running for some huge cash prizes and weekly giveaways.
Plus, you could win a brand new Mazda BT50 dual cab 4x4 just by playing. Head to thegame.com.au.
And now it's time for a bit of...
Hardball Bets, brought to you by Tap Touch.
Really enjoying that, Sting. Not enjoying our punting work from last week, though, Jacko.
How'd you go last week, Robert?
I decided to say, let's do a two. I think it was $2.15 or $2.20. Safe as houses.
Did you describe
the multi?
Safe? Yeah.
I described it as very safe just to get the season. Yeah. Lost all three legs, not just one leg, all three legs. Took two underdogs with the start, which was Melbourne and Collingwood, and they couldn't get within 15.5. Anyway, this week, I'm taking Brisbane outright to beat Freo. I'm taking GWS at the line against North, which is 46, and that's paying $3. So just do the opposite of that, I guess, would be my advice. Jacko, what would you like?
I'm tapping into the Giants at the line as well, and I'm going at that Port line, which is 47.5 against the Eagles.
Yeah, both of those lines just seem a fraction too low.
Yeah, $3.60.
I've got Carlton at $1.37 head-to-head against Richmond, which I think is like a really good price for that game. Melbourne, I really like at $1.62. I'm very confident Melbourne will bounce back at the MCG against a Dogs with a few question marks around them this season. And my roughie, if I want to include it, is Nick Martin for 25 touches at $1.80. Hawthorne, I think, could leak a few touches to a halfback, which I'm assuming Finn McGuinness will go to Merritt. So Martin in the preseason, just watching them at Geelong, they were very happy just to chip it around the back half to Nick Martin. So if you multi all those together, they're $4.
Okay, that's your little bonus bet for this week.
We don't do this very often, but Nick Rinn had Jack Viney for most disposals in a group last week. He had 7 disposals and a goal in the first 5 minutes of the game and finished with 30.
So he won it?
He won it, yeah.
Yeah, wow, that was never in doubt.
So a nice start for the guest
Nick
punters.
Rinn, the undisputed mastermind of this show. Let's get out of here, boys. Thank you very much, Jacko. Thank you very much, Jake.
Hopefully I get called back soon.
And I should also just put on the end of that hardball bet that chances are you're about to lose. Again, particularly if you follow mine, for free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Enjoy your weekend of footy. We'll chat to you next time.